still at Vision du Real, this time with a wonderful documentary that I could already see at Sundance. It's called Birds of War, and I'm here with the literal Birds of War, the director duo Janai Boulos and Abde Alkadahara. So nice to have you here.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Thank you. How are you feeling after premiering this very personal story at Sundance? Then you just told me that you already had four festivals.
It's really great. We're very happy that the audiences are really connecting with the film, and we're getting very interesting conversations in the Q&As, and people are coming up to us after the film. And I think this is what really matters, is building this connection and sharing our story and feeling welcome and accepted in these different parts of the world. We didn't imagine that this was going to happen, and we're very grateful.
Your story, while a personal documentary, is also a love story through war and all kinds of hardships. How did you decide to turn this personal experience into a film?
Like in the beginning, like when Janai came and pitched me the story, it was like a very, very different story. I mean, we are partner and we work together. In the beginning, the idea was like to make a film about politics in Lebanon, because I am part of her life. So the stories, and I became more personal like in the film through the development, because the politics like in our countries, Syria, Lebanon, is so complicated, and we have really affected each other by politics. As much as we think through politics, make it more complicated, we were like looking like to make the story more simple. So, and through the development with our consultant editor Claire, that we reached to the point that the story should be more personal. And at this point, we understand that is like the story, it's our love story, and through our love story, we're gonna explain like the politics, make it more simple throughout the film.
At the same time, you're both living in countries which experience war. So you're from Lebanon, you're from Syria. How was it possible to actually shoot while being in constant danger and simultaneously knowing that your loved one is also in constant danger?
When we met, Habak was still in Syria and I was in London. He had been filming for so many years, because for us, filming is a way of documenting life and documenting history. And when I was filming in Lebanon, he was supporting me all the time. So we are not thinking about if it's danger or not danger. We feel like we need to film because this is how we give back to our countries. This is our role and our duty. And we never really stop because it's a danger situation. I think our role is not just as reporters or journalists. You know, we are locals. We are telling our own story. I think this is what keeps us going.
How long did you actually shoot the film?
So the film is mostly archived. We didn't shoot it for this film. We just, when we started editing, we took out all the archive we have and we started to think, okay, what is the film? The only filming that we did for this film is our present life in London.
How many years does the archive roughly cover?
I would say like more than 13 years. Like my archives covered the period between 2010 until 2018. Did I archive?
Yeah, from 2019 till after that. And and we have also the present, which we consider the present are the years 2024, when the Israeli war started on Lebanon and the Assad regime fell.
Yeah, and like the archive was so much like to dig through. Personally, I have like around 16 terabytes of archive HD footage. Janai has like around 5 terabytes. Watching all that footage, it's a nightmare. We need to find like what we want from the footage and take it from the footage, like find it in the footage. Because also like my footage is really bloody and it's really traumatic. I work with Rebecca Day from Film in Mind. To protect our team, like we have to find a way for my editor like to not access all the footage and watch all the footage. So, and me and Rebecca, we develop a really good traffic light system for the editor. I spent like 2 months trying to labor the whole footage through amber, red, the green. The green one, the editor can access. It's a little bit traumatic. Red, it's really traumatic footage. When we find out that it's like our love story is the main core of the film, we try like to find the key moments in this years when our life has been changed in this moment. And we go to the archive and we just like dig for a specific thing. We're bringing a key moments like to the story, actually.
Speaking about the traumatic images and the images of war, how did you decide how much of the actual war to put into the film? Or was it something that you wanted to focus not so much on, because it has already been strongly represented in the media?
So that is one of the things we were like having discussion a lot about it, me and Janai. Having really traumatic footage in the film, of course, is going to be more emotional for the audience. But at the same time, if that is going to be like in a favor of the story or not. When it became like it's our love story, it's going to be like it's our love story. Adding more footage of the war, that means like going to be out of the st- of the love story and coming back to the love story. And we don't want like the people disconnect from the love story at some point. At this point, like we decide not to include a lot of blood because like a lot of people saw that in the news. Most of the time it's happening, everywhere. What the news don't show is like how these people are like a real people. And that's what we were trying actually to show for all the film.
This is probably also a very essential point for empathy, to see people in their everyday lives, yes, like falling in love, having arguments, having work to do. Do you generally also feel that this is underrepresented in international media?
Yes, I mean, the news world reduces people and narratives to headlines, and it's often affected by the politics of the country and editorial policies that depict people in certain ways. Sometimes people are depicted in ways like to justify killings and to justify the crimes that are happening. War is very costly on human lives, and the only losers are the normal people who want to just live and be happy and feel have safety and love and feel loved, and they are the biggest sufferers in these wars. And when we are reduced to headlines, it takes away the humanity and it takes away the connection with audiences, because at the end of the day, we're all humans, we're all the same. Headlines, politics make us feel that we are different to each other, but we're all connected.
When did you know that your archival story was finished, because it's still ongoing? How did you actually decide this is the story arc, yes, that we want to tell?
In 2024, when the Israeli war started on Lebanon, we were still editing. At that moment, we knew that we had to film to bring that at the present. At the same time, Habak hadn't been to Syria in a very long time. He was planning to go back to Syria through Turkey to see his parents that he hasn't seen in 8 years. So we were like, okay, we need to film that return. He went to Turkey and for about a month and wasn't able to cross the border. So we filmed that also. When he came back to London, the regime fell. So we knew, okay, we have to film. And then after Habak's return to Syria, we thought we have everything now. No. And that was the moment when we felt like, okay, now the film is ending. And we wanted to end it in a very real way. The ending is the way our life is now. This is what makes it genuine.
Did you also have discussions about what to put in that film? Moments where you disagreed strongly, yeah, about certain,
yeah,
scenes?
Yeah, I mean, really? Yeah. When it's things that we've lived and experienced, we're attached to the emotion of being there and what it means to us personally. And there were a lot of times when we had to edit scenes just because we feel like they're very important. But then when we saw them in the timeline, they felt like they didn't fit, like they were taking us out of the story. Because when we always go back and think, what is this film is the love story. And then anything that was taking us away from that, we had to make the decision to cut. And it really helped that we had a very strong team around us and who became our family, and they supported us in this decision. So our editor would always edit what we want and then show it to us for us to be able to see that it doesn't work. And then we would make these decisions together.
Would you like to mention any of the scenes where you would disagree?
Editing like a very strong scene from the hospital when I was under the sea. We were trying like to actually follow a specific event in one day that happened. It was like in the hospital. It's only one day of filming was in the hospital, and it's like we get bombed a couple of times. Even the hospital get hit by a rocket by Russia. We were trying actually to edit that scene by itself. We spent like around 2 weeks like editing that scene. It was like a very emotional scene. It was like very strong scene. But when we add it to that timeline, it's a great scene. I am presented in it. But at some point, like taking us like a scene, taking us like out of the story is really not a good scene in the film. At this point, like I get super, not get super angry, but I get super emotional because I felt like it's really important scene. We need to see it like in the film. When we actually watch it like throughout the film and we have discussion about it, it was not fitting actually. It's not the right scene for the right moment in the film. The scene is still there, but we lose a lot of elements in that scene.
How do you two see your future? Do you plan to continue this story on a documentary level or to make films together?
Well, we have a production company together based out of London, and we are making a second feature documentary that's already in late production. It's called Until the Buzzing Stops. That will be hopefully the second film in that Habak is directing and I'm producing. And we also work together on TV commissions. So we pitch stories to Al Jazeera, to the New York Times, and we still kind of produce documentaries for broadcasters in that space. We definitely want to continue storytelling stories from Lebanon and from Syria and work together on helping the world to understand what's happening and preserving this narrative for the future generations.
Were the moments when you were under pressure from censorship or when you would have to be afraid that putting out a film would put you in danger, especially you? There's something in the film of the repression you face, of the danger you face, how your work also consists of a certain level of danger.
I don't think so, no. I was, even like when I was in Syria, I was filming that at this point, like I was in danger. So it's like the dangers now, like for me at least, there is zero dangers. I think like it's going to be more about how the society and the community is going to look at the film. It's more than like actually getting dangers by the government, the new government, or by, it's more like I'm from very conservative family, but they, at the end, like they accepted Janai and they accepted me as, because I've been changed like a lot through the revolution, through a lot of things. I don't feel like there is dangers for me there at the moment.
Have you presented this film also in Syria and Lebanon?
Not yet, but we plan to.
We're planning like to do a community screening in Syria and Lebanon.
And Lebanon, yeah.
After we finish like the festival run.
Now that this film had had a number of premieres, both in the US, in Europe, and here, of course, in Switzerland, how do you perceive the reactions of the audience? How does it feel for you?
It feels very moving when people stop us, like even today in Vision du Riel, like we had two or three different people who stop us and they've seen the film and they like watched your film, it really moved me. And everybody's reaction is very emotional and very respectful of our experience. And I think that's what really matters to us, is that when we get people who engage with it emotionally and who come up to us and tell us how they feel, I think it's very moving. So the reaction has been really positive and really welcoming. Yeah.
Now that you have gone through all this story, do you also sometimes feel the need to just do your own thing? Or do you just love to be together after this long period? Because the film also shows a lot of separation.
Yeah. Still our reality. A lot of the times when Habak's in Syria, I'm in Lebanon or I'm in London. And since the beginning of this year, we barely spent 2 weeks together, maybe in London, because he's always working and I'm always doing stuff. This is what maybe is good in our relationship, is that we understand that each of us has their own mission and their own needs. And we do that and we're not very like demanding of each other. And then when we're together, we try and enjoy the time. I think we both believe in what we're doing and we want to do more of it. And I think we support each other for that reason.
If there's one thing you could hope that the audience would take away from your film, what would it be?
I think it's to approach the wars and the conflicts in a more human way, is to understand that the reality that's portrayed by the mainstream news and or by local politicians or country politics is not the reality. Try and see beyond that, that there's humanity and there's humans and there's empathy, and to understand that there's nothing that justifies the killing or the bombing of any society. And this is something that should stop, because people just want to live and they're not allowed to live because of wars, and that's not fair. Just understand that there's humans behind the headlines.
Thank you so much for this wonderful interview.
Thank you.
Thank you.